Welcome back. It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times on 730 WTNT, The Truth. And I'm joined once again by Stephen Dinan, who has a story in today's Washington Times. Health case raises recusal questions for Kagan and Thomas. Hello, Stephen.
Hello.
All right. So yesterday we find that the Supreme Court is going to take up the issue of health care. And right away the calls go out to Elena Kagan and to Clarence Thomas. Hey, you can't participate. Give me the rundown. What's the latest?
Yeah, so actually, it's not only the calls go out immediately, they've actually been going out even before this. Everybody had been anticipating the court would take this. These calls have even been building for a while. They just sort of, with the ruling yesterday, intensified and obviously came to a point. But it's folks have been laying the groundwork on both sides for a number of months to try and bump both of those justices, Kagan and Thomas, off of the panel that'll decide this. And so it's there are rules on conflicts of interest and judges and in this case justices and when they're allowed to be or when they are supposed to be deciding cases. If there's an appearance of a conflict of interest or an appearance that they can't be impartial, they are supposed to recuse themselves. And in the case of Justice Kagan, she was the Solicitor General for the Obama administration at the time that the law was passed and for a couple of months or so after the law was passed. And so there are a number of conservative groups and Republican lawmakers who believe that she was involved with creating the strategy, the initial part of the Obama administration defense strategy. And they say, well, if you were involved in crafting the strategy, how can you be impartial in ruling on essentially the arguments that you were involved in making? Now, she's during her confirmation hearings, Republican senators actually pushed her for more information and pushed her to say that she would recuse herself. And she wouldn't say she would recuse herself. She basically just said, look, I'll decide if I'm impartial when we get to it. And in the case of Thomas, it's a little bit different there. The issue is his wife and some statements she made where she clearly opposed the health care law and then the work she's done for groups that have opposed the health care law. So Democrats, a number of about 70 or so Democrats, have signed a letter saying that that her husband, Justice Thomas, should recuse himself because the family's finances are intricately tied to opposition to the law.
Yeah, you know, but my gut is telling me that the bigger case is against Kagan because there evidently are emails that show that she's very excited, enthusiastic over the idea of the legislation passing. I mean, that's pretty condemning stuff.
Yeah, I think that's probably safe to say that there's a better case against her. I mean, you know, in the case of Thomas, it's a financial case to be made there. But you know, as one professor told me, there's not a person in the world who, knowing Justice Thomas, doesn't already know not necessarily how he'll rule, but know the judicial philosophy that he's going to apply. He's been on the bench for 20 years, and we have a sense for how he approaches these cases. And so it's tough to argue that money is his wife's job and his wife's opinions are going to change how he's going to approach this case. Kagan, as you said, it's a little different. She's been on the bench for a much shorter period of time. She wasn't a judge before that, so we don't have a long history of judicial decision making and an approach to cases to judge her by. And you know, by definition, she was essentially a partisan in a partisan administration when this law passed. And so, as you pointed out, there have been requests for documents. Some of those requests have been fulfilled, and we've seen emails that show she was very excited about the prospects of the healthcare law getting through. There's another argument that's made. Some of the documents that the Justice Department has refused to turn over, they've claimed what's called the deliberative exemption from Freedom of Information Act requests. The folks who are requesting these documents say, well, if they were deliberative documents, that shows that she was part of the deliberations and therefore was more involved in the preparing of defense or more involved in the law overall than we've been led to believe. So, you know, it's unclear there, but that's certainly their argument is if the administration's using the deliberative exemption, then by definition, she must have been part of the deliberative process, which should equal a recusal.
All right. Now, neither one has to do anything, right?
That's exactly right. It's up to the justice and nobody. They have to answer to nobody but themselves. And it's one of these things where you never – one of the professors told me that there are times when the litigants in the case don't even know that somebody's recused himself or herself until you show up for oral argument and that chair is empty, and people are like, oh, I guess they recused themselves. So it's their choice. You know, these folks are very elevated pedestal sort of thing, and then they decide. Sometimes there have been instances where justices have written very thoughtful discussions of why they have recused themselves, or even thoughtful discussions of why they don't think they need to recuse themselves. So that would be an option, but it's totally their call how they want to handle this, and if they want to sit, then they will sit.
Yeah, well, you can always appeal. Oh, I guess you can.
That's
the highest court in the land.
Court of last resort, exactly right.
What about pressure from the Chief Justice? Has that ever happened, do you know?
Well, so no, there are a couple of types of pressure that they can be subject to, and in fact, one is what we're already seeing, which is public pressure.
Yes.
You know, now the end result of that, if there, it's possible that somebody would listen to those arguments and say, well, yes, okay, you're right. Even though I think I could be impartial, my ruling wouldn't be viewed as impartial, and therefore I need to recuse myself. So it's possible that that could happen, but it's more likely that they go ahead and make their decision and assure people I am impartial and essentially let the decision fall where it will. And, you know, one argument on the other side of this for them not recusing themselves that lawyers make is that you're already turning over what is arguably the biggest case in a generation. You know, there's huge six of the economy involved in this, a giant case with huge implications for federal power and all this sort of stuff. Do you really want to shrink the pool of people that are going to be deciding that issue as well? You know, would you rather have nine people deciding it, or would you rather have seven? In which case, it's possible the smaller you get, possibly the worst decision making you get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see the scenario where obviously, as you mentioned, the big issue is public opinion. One of them could thumb their nose at the public and really do harm to themselves down the road, couldn't they?
That's exactly. I mean, you know, the court lawyers and people who study this are fond of saying that Congress has the power of the purse, and the executive has the power of the police, essentially of compulsion, and the court has nothing other than the power of the pen, the power of persuasion, and they, that's exactly right. I mean, the big danger, if they do sit and the public decides in its mind that they weren't impartial, the big danger is to the majesty of the court and the ability of the court to get people to obey its rulings in the future. I think it was Andrew Jackson who famously said, they've made their ruling, now let them enforce it. And you know, this is the tension that the founders intended for between these branches, and the court was supposed to be the least powerful branch, having only the powers of persuasion and essentially the powers of their arguments to get people to agree with them.
Mm-hmm. And finally, the over and under on one of them bailing out.
I'm awful at predictions, but I would be shocked.
Yes, so would I.
You know, it, for a couple of reasons. First of all, it's just, you know, it's not clear. If more documents come out about Kagan, I think the pressure will grow, and there might be a reason why she has to. But as of right now, the evidence doesn't suggest that there's a reason that she's absolutely made herself impartial. And beyond that, there's just going to be a lot of pressure for both of them to stay on because of what's at stake in the ruling.
Yep. All right, Stephen, thanks for the help. Appreciate it.
Always my pleasure.